In Exodus chapter 5, we read the words of the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, and he said, "Who is the Lord that I should listen to his voice?" This morning's message focuses on the idea of the voice of God, the voice of God. Who is the Lord that I should listen to his voice? In the beginning, the creation, God's voice spoke all things into existence. He merely said, "Let there be," and there was. The voice of God is powerful. This God who spoke is the God of eternity, the God of infinity. He is the all-sufficient, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise God. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is God of gods. On the sixth day of creation, the Lord created Adam from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he spoke to man. And by God's voice, he blessed and he gave instruction to the man. And he warned the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." The voice of God gave those instructions. In Genesis chapter 3, we read about another voice, the voice of Satan, the voice of the serpent. And he deceived Eve. And through his deception, through his temptation, he cast doubt on what God had said. Did the voice of God say this? Really? Have you understood it? Maybe you misunderstood it. And he immediately became a contradictory, competing voice to the voice of God, questioning the word of God, suggesting that there's another way to live life. There's another way to see things, a competing voice. And ever since that time, Satan has multiplied and invented and presented more and more competing voices in the world. Sometimes he comes with the voice of an angel. He comes very subtly, smoothly, attractively. Other times, Satan comes as a roaring lion to bully us and scare us and overwhelm us. You know, as soon as Adam and Eve broke fellowship with God, as soon as they ignored and violated what God had said, immediately regret and guilt set in. And we read that when they heard the voice of God in the garden, they ran and they hid. They ran away. They hid in shame. And God calls out to Adam, and he says, "Adam, where are you?" Thank you, Zach. Genesis 3:10, Adam replies, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Instead of heeding the voice of God, they violated the voice of God and began immediately to reap the negative consequences of their disobedience, the shame, the guilt. There's another voice that Adam heard and listened to, and the Lord addresses that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, where he says to Adam, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, therefore cursed is the ground because of you." God had given instructions, and Adam ignored those instructions. Adam did the opposite of what the voice of God had said, and he listened to the voice of Satan. He listened to the voice of his wife. There are always, always, always bad consequences for disobeying the voice of God and following some other voice, even if that voice comes from somebody very near and dear to you, even if that voice comes from somebody that you love and respect. If you do not listen to the voice of God and rather listen to some other voice, there is always negative, bad consequences. In Genesis 4, we see another voice mentioned. Cain was envious of his brother Abel. Abel was righteous. He listened to the voice of God. Cain was full of self. He wanted to do things his own way. And sadly, we see that he rose up and he killed his brother. He murdered his own brother. In Genesis 4, verses 10 through 12, the Lord said to Cain, "What have you done? What have you done?" He was calling Cain to acknowledge and admit and take responsibility for the sin that he'd committed. And of course, Cain's response was, what do you mean, what have I done? Am I supposed to look after my brother? He's off somewhere in the garden. I don't care. Right? He tried to kind of cover up this whole thing. But God said this, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. He couldn't hide and cover the sin that he had committed. The voice of his sin cried out against him. And you and I cannot shut up or hide or ignore the voice of our sin, which cries out to God, right? Instead of heeding the voice of God, we heed our own voice, other people's voices, the world, the flesh, the devil. And as a result of that, we're placed in a very, very precarious position, a position of judgment, a position of inheriting and reaping the anger of God, the judgment, the condemnation, which we rightly deserve because of our sin. The scripture says, be sure your sin will find you out. I wonder how many people over the history of humanity have done things and then felt that they got away with it for a time. Yeah. It's okay, nobody saw. Oh, it's okay, nobody's saying anything. The Bible says unequivocally, be sure your sin will find you out. Everything that we have done, violating the law of God, the standards of God, the holiness of God, the voice of God, will be exposed. It will be. Either in this life or when we stand before the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. I think as we go through Scripture again and again, you will see this idea of the voice of God, God speaking, God revealing himself to man, and man ignoring that or turning away from it. And I think today part of the challenge for us in this message that I trust the Lord will bring home to our conscience is don't listen to the voices that are trying to pull us away from and lure us away from following the Lord God, the true and living God. The voices that tempt us into sin, lying, cheating, stealing, cursing, hating, bitterness, anger, unfaithfulness, laziness, lust, bitterness, greed, like the list can go on and on. And we all know, if we're honest, those areas of sin that are a particular temptation to us. There's some areas of sin that's not a temptation to you perhaps, but there are others that you're very aware of, very sensitive to, right? Voices which pull, which call us. And you know, the voices that lead us away from God very easily become addictions. Had a comical thing happen in the last week here. We were looking after our daughter and son-in-law's dog. It's a Entel Butcher Mountain dog crossed with an Australian Shepherd. Beautiful dog. But this dog, if you take out a laser and you point the dot on the floor, right, the dog goes crazy. It follows that dot. Some of you maybe have done that with your cat or your dog, you know, and you shine the laser all over and then they chase it. Well, this dog is absolutely addicted. All you have to say is, where's a bug? Where's a bug? And the dog's on its feet and it's all alert. And so you point the little, you know, the red bug on the carpet or whatever. It just goes crazy. So at one point, sent the dog outside and I was standing in the doorway of the deck and shining this thing way out into the snow all around in between the trees, and the dog was just running and going crazy, tongue hanging out. I mean, the dog was totally exhausted, but it would not quit. It would not quit. And when it came in, it was time for the dog. Usually it's, you know, 5 o'clock, it's at the food bowl. It wasn't even thinking of food. It just, where's the bug? Where's the bug? It was completely controlled and compelled by that silly little bug. It wanted to chase that bug. It wanted to get that bug. And interesting how in our lives, sin can become that. Something that we just chase, that we just so badly want. And sometimes it's irrational. Sometimes it's something that is destroying us, and yet we chase it. We want it. We want that voice, right? We want to pursue that thing, even if it's going to completely kill us. Sin has become such a hold on us. And so again and again through the scripture, the Lord speaks. The Lord commands. The Lord encourages. The Lord reaches out to us with his voice. He warns us about the wrong voices, the other competing voices. And everywhere we go, we are encouraged. Listen to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Follow His revelation of Himself. Follow His word. But everywhere we go, there are other voices surrounding us. You can't escape it, right? You get up in the morning, you turn on the radio, go on the internet, there are voices coming at you, right? There are stimuli coming at us as we go out into the day, as you drive, as you're shopping in the mall, you go to work, you go to school, through entertainment, everywhere. There are these callings, these voices, these pressures coming to us. And it's very sad that nowadays you can ignore the voice of God and you can go online and you can find a voice that agrees with you already, right? A voice that confirms you in your disobedience, in your rebellion, in your habit. You can find a voice that comforts you even though you're not listening to the voice of God. And that's really sad. But it's so easy to happen. We've got to be on guard. We have to be on guard. Who is the Lord that I should follow His voice? Well, He's the true and living God. He's the God of eternity. He's the God of creation. And He's the God who loves us. And He loved us so much that He has supplied and provided for us the answer to our sin. He has given us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the indescribable gift. His Son came and went to the cross for us. God's voice was being heard so powerfully and clearly in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. His voice is heard so clearly through His word. God has declared that there is nobody else in all of eternity, all of creation, that cares for you, that loves you as much as this living and true God. We should listen to His voice. It's the most wise thing that you could ever do, is to listen to and follow what the Lord is saying. I love what it says in Exodus 15 and 26, where it says, "Diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God. Do what is right in His sight. Give ear to His commandments. Keep all of His statutes." And you see that the words that are used there, right? It's diligently, it's intentionally, it's carefully, right? Purposefully listen to God's voice and follow through on all that He says to you. Deuteronomy 5:24. "Surely the Lord our God has shown us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice. We have seen this day," and listen to the statement, "that God speaks with man." We have an Emmaus course with that title, "The God Who Speaks to Man." Isn't that an amazing thing? God speaks to human beings. God desires fellowship with us, with people. Even people who have rebelled and wandered and strayed, people who have ignored, people who have violated, yet God is reaching out to us through His word, through His voice, calling us back. He desires that we come to be reconciled to Him. He desires that we become His children. He desires that we walk in fellowship with Him. He desires that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. He seeks such as will worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is the astounding grace and kindness and love and mercy of God, isn't it? That He would speak to us creatures, God who speaks to man, and He invites us into a restored relationship with Himself. Have you thought about that recently? God wants you to follow His voice. God wants a relationship with you. Now, I know we can think of this at various levels, as it were. On the one hand, if somebody has never come to Christ, they've never been saved from their sin, they've never been born again, then God desires that person to come from a position of being at enmity with God to being in relationship to God, reconciled through the Lord Jesus, to come to Him in terms of salvation. But on the second level, we can think of those maybe who profess to be Christians, who have all the right words, who go through the right motions and make all the right sounds, but who really are not actually walking with the Lord, not on a day-to-day practical level following God's voice, listening to God's voice. And so, how can I do that? How do I hear God's voice? I think the scripture itself is very plain, that it is the Bible, the Word of God, the scriptures, wherein we find where God has communicated. God has revealed himself, right? His word has been entrusted to us as a sacred deposit, and that's where you hear the voice of God. I know in times past, the Lord spoke through many and various ways. We read at the beginning of the book of Hebrews. God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. The Lord has used dreams and visions and prophets and people and circumstances and everything else. But ultimately, his revelation is found in his word, in the scriptures. And that's why it's so important that we hear the word of God, that we read the word of God, that we're in the word of God, that we hear the voice of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the scripture gives us promises of blessing for obeying God's voice, and it gives us warnings of the consequences of ignoring God's voice. There's a couple of examples from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 2. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it's very clear in Scripture, right? We're given a choice. You obey, and there are blessings as a result of that. Jeremiah 11 and verse 4, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you, so you shall be my people and I will be your God. Promises of blessing for obeying the voice of God, but they're warnings. They're warnings. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15, it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully the commandments and statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Negative consequences of judgment. Jeremiah 3 and verse 25. We lie down in shame, our reproach covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God. We and our fathers, even from our youth to this day, have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Guilt, shame, consequences. I don't know where you're at today as you sit in that chair. I don't know if you have been listening to the Lord or you have been ignoring the Lord. I don't know if you've been on the outside giving the appearance of being a Christian, but in your heart, you've really been rebelling against the Lord. You've been shutting your ears to God. You don't want to hear his voice. It's inconvenient. You're worried that if you truly listen to God's voice, it's going to disrupt your life. Maybe it's going to make you look bad and you're trying to save face. And so you're shutting out the voice of God. You don't really want to hear what he has to say. You want kind of a sanitized version of it. You want a version of it that you can manipulate, kind of make your own, you know, twist God into a convenient God that he only says what you really want him to say. Maybe that's where you're at the moment. I don't know. You know in your heart as you sit there. But I want to encourage you today, and I want to invite you today to begin listening to the Lord and to turn back to the Lord in repentance and confession and come to him. Psalm 95, verses 6 through 8. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Right? Oh, we do that so easily, right? In a second, in a moment. Oh, you know, enjoying one part maybe of something that the Bible is saying, and then you come across as like, oh, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. No, that's, I don't know, it just doesn't fit me. And so we begin to be selective, and we harden our hearts against the Lord, and we shut him out. Maybe not even kind of on the upper level of our consciousness, but we're making these internal choices to not listen to the voice of the Lord God. Jeremiah 26 and verse 13, now therefore amend your ways and your doings. Obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amend your ways, right? Don't keep doing what you've been doing. Don't keep walking in a pattern of behavior and life and attitude that is destructive, right? Don't continue to shut your ears to the voice of God. Open your heart to him. Open your ears to him. Listen to what the Lord is wanting to say to you. Because remember, what he wants to say to you is the very best that you can hear. If you're listening to another voice, that's second or third or fifth or sixth or tenth best, right? That's destructive. That's leading you in the wrong way. Listen to what the Lord is saying. There's nobody else who cares for you like the Lord. There's nobody else who loves you like the Lord. Maybe his path seems harder. Maybe his path seems more costly. Maybe it is. But the ultimate result of that will be the highest joy and peace that you possibly can aim for. God commands all men everywhere to repent, we read in Acts 17. His voice is speaking to the world through the gospel, inviting people to stop the pathway that they've been going, to stop listening to the voices that they've been listening to. God calls us to repent. God calls us back to listen. But please remember that the Lord is not looking for just kind of an outward show. Right? It's never in the scripture does God say, I just want you to become more religious. I want you to attend more meetings, right? I want you to give the impression. I want you to create this image of really, you know, walking with me and being mine. God is not interested in that. In fact, the Lord Jesus rebuked those religious people whose words spoke as if they were close to God, but their hearts were far away from him. What the Lord wants is our hearts. Deuteronomy 30 is a lovely chapter, and two verses in that chapter, verse 10 and verse 20. He says, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. I mean, that's just such a clear indication, right? And verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. I just love the way that that's put, right? The Lord is looking not for our external observation, but he's looking for a heart level obedience to his voice. There's a great example of people who were called themselves the Lord's people, but who were living the opposite of that, and then were confronted with the word of God, and they made a change. It's found in the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 1. The word of the Lord comes to this group of people through the prophet, and he tells them, like, stop what you're doing. Don't keep walking and living and acting the way that you have. He said, I want you to do a 180 degree here. I want you to come back to me. I want you to listen to me because you haven't been listening to me. And we read Haggai chapter 1 and verse 12. The leadership, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, so from the top down, from the greatest to the least, all the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Isn't that beautiful? They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the Lord immediately began to work in their midst in some really, really significant ways. What did they obey? The voice of God. The voice of God. I want to look at one more verse, and then I want to relate a testimony to you. John chapter 5 and verse 25. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That little statement, the hour is coming and now is. So that phrase reveals to us a kind of an already but not yet situation. And of course, it's talking about the resurrection. So that part, that which now is, refers, I think, again, maybe two applications. Firstly, the people who during the life of Jesus were physically raised from the dead during his public ministry. He spoke, and they were brought back to life. Think of Lazarus, think of the widow of Nain's son, etc. These were physical resurrections. These were people who heard the voice of the Son of God, and they came back from the dead. They were raised to life again. The second application of Jesus' statement, that which now is, refers to those who were spiritually dead in their trespasses and sins, who heard the voice of the Son of God during his public ministry. He preached the gospel of salvation during his life. And there were some who believed in him. Many didn't. came to his own received him not. But to those who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So there was a group of people who were spiritually separate from the Lord. They heard Jesus speaking, they trusted in him, and they came to new spiritual life during that time. There's a third application, of course, during in this now is. The time, the hour is coming, and now is. And that is, I think, applies during this age that we are living in now. This gospel age, when the gospel is being preached, and people, men, women, young people, people of every tribe and nation and kindred and tongue, are coming to Christ. It's an amazing thing to think that we're part of that, right? We see just a tiny sliver of this, but God is at work in every nation across this globe. A lot of it is hidden. A lot of it we don't hear about. We don't see. Every now and again, you get a little report that comes out on our Emmaus app that we have, which is going out worldwide. Every month, there are tens of thousands of people doing Emmaus courses on the Emmaus app. And in the Middle East, there are thousands of Muslims who are studying Emmaus courses every day, encountering the gospel, coming to Christ. It's quiet, it's hidden, it's anonymous, right? A lot of those people, we don't know who they are. We don't get their names. We don't get their locations. But God is at work through something as simple as the Emmaus app, bringing people to Christ. Isn't that amazing? And right here in Canada, we hear reports of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what an amazing thing it is. The gospel is advancing. The Lord is at work. Christ is building his church. And there are people who are receiving the Savior, passing from death to life, spiritually resurrected, even in our day and time. This is the now is part of the statement here in John chapter 5 and verse 25. The verse before that says, Jesus said, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word, my voice, and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Wow. Praise the Lord. God is at work. The Lord Jesus, the head of the church, is at work, and people are coming to know him now. But the other part of Jesus' statement, the hour is coming, speaks of a yet future physical resurrection, doesn't it? That time when indeed everybody will be raised and everybody will stand before the Lord. They will hear the voice of the Son of God. Have you heard and responded to the voice of Jesus? Truly? Have you accepted and personally received the gospel of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished as the Lamb of God on the cross at Calvary? He's the only Savior. There's no other Savior. There's no other way to God. There's no other forgiveness of sins. There's no other reconciliation to God. There's no other peace with God, only through the Lord Jesus. And if you do profess to be saved, if you say, yes, I am a Christian, I do know the Lord, are you listening to what the Lord is saying to you in your marriage? So the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? As husband and wife, in our interactions, in our roles, in our responsibilities, are we truly listening to the voice of God, or are we listening to our culture? Which voice are we listening to, right? Which drum are we marching according to the beat of it, right? We're listening to the voice of God in our home, in our family, with our children, between siblings as children. Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you living out the reality of what God says in his word, in our relationships, in our work, in our finances, in our leisure, in our use of time, in our use of social media, like in our use of internet? Like, are we listening to the voice of God? Are we following the voice of God? Or are we just doing our own thing? Are we just listening to society? Right? Are we just listening to some book or conference or seminar or whatever? Like, what is the voice that you're listening to, that you're living according to? I want to bring this message to a conclusion by reading part of a testimony. Some of you I know have heard this testimony. The testimony is by David Gibbs, a lawyer in the USA. He'd been working on a lawsuit in the Aleutian Islands of Alaska, and he and another lawyer were flying back to Anchorage in a small plane when the pilot passed out. And this is a transcript of David telling what happened. He says, "We were up in the clouds and I could not see a thing. I grabbed the radio and I started calling, 'Hello, hello, hello.' Somebody answered back, 'Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette?' I said, 'We don't know nothing. We're in an airplane with a passed out pilot. We don't know how to fly this plane.' The guy said, 'I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. You're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you?' I said, 'That's correct.' And he says, 'You got to understand that by this time I'm sweating bullets.' He said, 'The first thing I'm going to do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore.' And he said, 'I'm going to get Anchorage Airport emergency for you, and they'll be the people that can maybe help you and try to save your life.' After a few minutes, Anchorage Airport came on and said, 'We understand you have a passed out pilot and none of you know how to fly that plane.' I said, 'That's right.' They said, 'Well, the first thing we got to do is to find you on the radar.' And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, 'My job is to get you home safely. But here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me that you'll obey my voice. If you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die.' Finally, he said, 'Okay, I found you on the radar. You can't see me, but I can see you. Now hear me carefully. You're 4 minutes from a mountain. You're going to crash in that mountain if you don't follow my voice.' He said, 'You know what? I didn't question him. I never said, 'Why do I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable of you to expect me to follow your voice? I don't know who you are. I can't even see you.' He says, 'At that moment, I understood that without his voice, I had nothing. I could not help myself. I had no other hope but that voice.' He said, 'Do we understand that without God's voice, we have nothing? We can't help ourselves. We have no hope. We listened to the voice coming over the radio and we followed his instructions. Finally, the air traffic controller from Anchorage got us turned around and he said, 'I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. It's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage. And there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride.' And then he said, 'I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm. Just listen to my voice. You'll panic and you'll be filled with fear if you focus on the storm. Listen to my voice. If you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it.' They cleared all the traffic and several pilots talked to us saying, 'We're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. Trust the voice.' I said, 'In this life, your head can be full of voices. Everybody in this world wants to talk to you and everybody wants to be a controlling voice. God says, I want you to be my living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice.' Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. The voice said, 'Now I'm going to line you up. I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. At the foot of the runway are some lights and they're in the form of a cross. Don't you forget this, the cross is the way home to safety.' As the voice was bringing us down, we still couldn't see anything. And all he kept saying was, 'Stay with me. Listen to my voice. Follow my instructions.' Finally, just a couple of hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. Somehow, I landed that plane listening to that voice. It finally came to a stop. For a moment, silence. And then the choked up voice said, 'Thanks for listening. Thanks for trusting my voice. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand. I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they listen to the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to my voice.' We were put up in a motel room to rest and recover from the ordeal. In the morning, there was a knock at my door. I opened the door and there was a man standing there. He said, 'Hello, David.' I said, 'You're the voice. You're the voice. You're the one who got me home.' He said, 'I am.' Do you understand one day we're all going to stand before the Lord and hear his voice then? We're either going to be terrified and want to run and hide at the sound of his voice, just like Adam and Eve did. Or we're going to say, you're the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. We're surrounded by voices. Your head's full of voices. But the Lord saying, I'm the one who has the voice. Listen to me. I want to be your voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me and I'll take you through. God is a loving, merciful Heavenly Father who gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to save you and forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. He wants you to be reconciled to him and be his child. He wants to be your shepherd. He's promised to take you through if you will stay with him, if you will listen to his voice. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who speaks to man. Thank you, Lord, that you have not abandoned us and you haven't abandoned this world. You are still at work. You're still speaking through your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the preaching of the gospel. Thank you for every aspect and part of your word in which you reveal yourself to us. You show your heart. You declare your love. You have laid out for us the plan of salvation. Thank you so much that you speak. And Lord, today I want to pray that we, those of us in this room, would be obedient to hear your voice, to follow your voice. Lord, perhaps there's somebody here today who is never listen to your voice. They've never opened their heart to you. They've never been saved. Lord, I ask that they would not harden their hearts today, but that this may be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, there's some here perhaps who are your children, but they've been living in a rebellious, stubborn way, doing their own thing. They've closed their hearts to certain aspects of what you want to say to them. Please soften our hearts today. Help us to listen, to hear, to respond, to follow what you want to say to us. Help us not to look at the storm, this world with all its craziness, all of the fear, the anxiety, the uncertainty. Help us not to focus on that and the people and the politicians and the corruption. Help us not to focus on that, but to focus on the Lord Jesus and to give him the preeminence. To fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our salvation, our shepherd who wants to guide us day by day and direct our footsteps in the ways of truth and righteousness and holiness. Help us to listen to you, Lord. Father, we pray that these simple truths that we've been reminded of today, that you would just anchor them in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we would be changed as a result of the time that we've spent together here today. We just look away from ourselves. We look away from the voices of this world. And we look to the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you have spoken. And that you have spoken finally and clearly and so unmistakably in the person and work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen.